Good afternoon, everyone, and this is John Campbell wishing you a very warm welcome to all our listeners all over the world on bbsradio.com. You're listening to Miracle Hour, and it's a wonderful privilege today. I'm actually sitting looking over the Golden Gate Bridge in California. I'm over in Sausalito, and it's just beautiful. The weather is fantastic, and it makes a big difference to that cold and wet and wintry England. And I know you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful hour with us today, because I've got a very special person who's come to talk to us. And this young woman from Southern California, I met when I was doing a course some years ago, an angel therapy practitioner course, and her name is Judith Lukomsky, and she was staffing on that course, one of Doreen Virtue's trainings. And I can just tell you that anybody, as soon as they saw Judith, they saw the light coming from this woman. She's an amazing healer. She deals with crystals. She's written a wonderful book about crystals. And I actually eventually had the pleasure of working with her on one of these courses. So it's a fantastic honor and pleasure to welcome Judith onto the show. Can you hear me there, Judith?
John, it's so wonderful to get a chance to visit with you. I'm just delighted to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you, and I can't believe I'm here in your very own backyard here. I mean,
it is beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, I tell you, Judith, you know, we loved Ireland, didn't we? But this really is just something special, and it's great to be over here. I've always had a very soft spot for the United States, and especially California. So, and what's the weather like down your end? It's pretty much the same as here.
Stunning today, absolutely stunning. And you're in one of the most beautiful places in the world. Sausalito is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you spent time up here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is. It's a lovely spot. And I came over on the ferry actually, and it was great. You know, it felt like being back at sea. You know, I wanted to take over the controls. But well, thank you for joining us today, Judith. And what I like to do on the show, with all the guests that come and share time with me, is I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit, first of all, about your journey and, you know, where you come from and your background and that kind of stuff, going back as far as you want to go back. So it's all yours, and we're waiting to hear from you.
Oh, my goodness. That just opens the door to all kinds of sharing. You know, I have to say, John, one of the questions that I get all the time is when did you start working with crystals? So I'll start there.
Okay.
Because they've been an important part of my journey. And I truly started working with stones when I was just a little girl. And I was very blessed to have understanding parents in most ways. As I came home with my pockets full of stones and saying, these are my friends. And my folks were, you know, kind of shaking their head because they had raised two other children, and neither one of them had come home doing that. But as I did so, what I discovered was the gift of what we have in the earth. And we have such magical, wonderful friends, really, that are here to help us. And they've been a part of my journey since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. In saying that, I've worked with stones from a healing perspective and from a personal perspective for a long, long time. And it's been a tandem journey, and you know some of the details, John. But it's been a really wonderful journey in exploring the metaphysical, holistic side, and also being very much in a traditional third-dimensional world, you know, going through school, getting my degrees, going out and working in the world, so to speak, and understanding the dynamics of business and seeing how everything interwove. And to me, it was really fascinating when I was working, particularly in the computer industry, because I had an aha moment. And that aha moment was when those two elements of self came into one, in the sense that I was working with both the crystals and the very traditional aspect of technology in the same place, creating positive change. Part of my background is in working with industries to create change initiatives. In other words, to bring forward different ways of doing business, different ways of applying new technologies to really create opportunities to optimize all the aspects of both the personal and the business side.
Mm.
And so it's been a real interesting journey, and I know that, John, you have some sharing there too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do, but I haven't managed to. Well, yeah, I suppose I've done a little bit of going back to where I came from, but, you know, this is really an amazing thing, you know. And I was interested to find out, when you said you started getting to the stones when you were a little girl, you talk about a little bitty girl. You might say, you know, how old you were when you came up with these stones.
I'll fess up. I was probably a toddler. My folks moved out to California from Michigan, where it's very cold and very snowy in the winter. And in the summertime, it's really a blessed place to live, and the grass grows high. And my dad grew up on a farm, and he said to my mom, I'm not going to mow the lawn anymore. So they had created a rock garden in the backyard.
Oh, that is cool.
So I literally grew up, you know, going out in the backyard, picking up rocks, going, wow, look at this and look at that. And then, you know, finally my dad's farmer's roots, so to speak, came up, and we had planting that was done in the other part of the backyard. And still I would find rocks when we were digging up the, you know, the plot of earth, and I'd be saying, wow, look at this one or look at that one.
Yeah. So you were really drawn to them immediately, you know,
mm-hmm.
as soon as you came into contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was. My folks were very fun. They had in the backyard put a pretty foundational stone in California. It's a type of quartz and a type that's used often in rock gardens. It sparkles. So what little girl can resist a sparkling rock?
Exactly. What big girl?
Exactly. You know, those are the diamonds. They just get different as we get older, right?
That's right. and what did you start to want to read about them? I mean, and how much did they interest you, or was it just their appearance, you know, or were you interested in where they came from and that kind of stuff?
That came a little bit later, and it was really at a point in time in my life where there were some pretty big changes that went on. I'd always had a love affair, if you will, with stones. I always had them around. But it became more interesting to me when I journeyed through a very difficult time in my life when I was about 17. From the time I was 17 to just about 20, I lost both sets of grandparents and my dad.
Oh, wow.
And it was a really dark time, as you can imagine. It was a time of loss and a time of dealing
with
a lot of change, absolutely, and a lot of looking at different alternatives, different religions. And I was very blessed at the time. I was in college, and I was actually attending a comparative religion class that got me started looking at different aspects of religion and different perspectives. And one of the things that to me was so fascinating at the time was that angels were present in all of those religions.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was digging more, I've always been a history buff, so to speak. I love learning about different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I began to realize that there was a thread of continuity with gems. In most
cultures,
there's a gift, if you will. For example, lapis is only mined out of Afghanistan and has a huge history in Persian culture and Middle Eastern culture.
That's the lapis you said,
mm-hmm. Julia? Lapis lazuli, uh-huh.
Okay.
So, you know, that was part of how the whole opportunity to understand and to work with stones came up, because at that point I also became very much aware of there's more to what we see. You know, I started talking to angels when I was little, again, and it had continued. And during that dark time, it kind of, for me, I shut it off for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it just shut down until the point where I had to reawaken it, because it was really what my path was to be.
Yeah. And did you share about it when you spoke to the angels? Did you share it with your elders, you know, your parents or teachers or anybody that was anybody that, you know, you kind of shared it with, and the response you got made you to feel, I can't share this sort of thing? Or
I did have a couple shutdown moments, absolutely, and you know, unfortunately, and sometimes it happens. I think most often in our own homes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, and it's fear. It's always fear, Judith.
Absolutely.
There's fear of being judged and fear of what the neighbor's going to think and everything else. And But the most important thing, I don't know if you found that, is that nearly all of us find somebody who we can talk to. And you talked very fondly there of your grandparents. Were they people you could talk to about your interest in the stones and the angels and that kind of thing?
To a certain degree. It was actually my dad that was most receptive to that. And even to this day, you know, from a mediumship standpoint, he's very present. And very much a part of my life.
Yeah. Because your mom's still alive, right?
My mom is still alive, and she's now moved from, you know, kind of going, my daughter talks to rocks and angels, to, my daughter's an author that talks to rocks and angels.
Yeah. What was it you said to me? You thought you came in to heal the other gang or something?
That was it. You know, I looked down because I'm a surprise package, if you will, in our family. And I came down, must have been looking at that cloud, and said, I can help here. Let me come down.
That's cute. So your mum is more receptive now that you're a published author.
Well, now that there's credibility. And, you know, my mom actually, it's in some respects really fun because my mom comes from a long line of intuitives.
Does she?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. So this was not anything new to her then?
It was new to her in the fact that, you know, rather than being hidden, I've chosen to really step out and say, this is who I am.
Right.
Because in many respects, you know, culturally, that was not an accepted aspect.
But who within her, you say she came from a line of intuitives. So it sounds to me that you mean she didn't kind of come out and practice anything like that. But what about her mother? Was it?
Oh, my grandmother, absolutely. My grandmother worked with tea leaves.
Okay.
Yeah, she did some divination. And my mom was actually quite aware, and she's quite intuitive in her own way. You know, I learned about, for example, past life regression by reading Bridie Murphy. Have you ever heard of that book?
No, I haven't, no.
Bridie Murphy was one of the first past life regression books that was published. They were I think it was published in the late 50s, maybe early 60s. My mom had that. My mom had books on Edgar Cayce.
Oh, okay. Well, Edgar Cayce, of course, is familiar with me now because obviously, as you're aware, I'm a very keen student of A Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was one of the people that they went to first see when Helen Schuckman first started to hear the voice. You know, they went into the what was it called, the ARE, the what does that stand for, you?
I don't remember exactly. I think it's Association of Research Enlightenment, but I'm not
that's
positive.
It, something like that. That's it. Yeah. All right. So mom was connected with them, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mom had those books available, so there I was at, you know, a very early age, tiptoeing into the hallway to pick out a book to go read, and, you know, learning all about that.
That is fascinating, you know, for one so young. I mean, that's an incredible thing. And what about you? Because did you have siblings? You have siblings?
I do. I have an older brother and an older sister.
Okay. And were you able to share with them, or were they kind of, did they look upon you as a little bit of a, you know, a way out?
You know, I think, John, as with anybody that has a 10-year age gap, the ability to, you know, really communicate comes much later in life.
Right.
You know, because at 17, there's a big difference at 7.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. She, you know, especially if it's a sister, I guess she was trying to get you out of the way.
Exactly.
Hey, we just got a caller there. Would you like to tell us your name, caller, and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Elaine. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Lorraine, and
Elaine.
Welcome to come calling into the show. Would you like to ask Judith a question there?
Yes, I'd like to know if you could connect me with my mother on the other side.
I'm sorry, Elaine, what was your question?
My mother had passed on to the other side. I wonder if you could connect me to her.
And what was your mom's name?
Her name was Aaliyah.
And I'm sorry, one more time?
Her name was Aaliyah.
Elian?
Aaliyah.
How beautiful. Let me just ask and see if she'll come forward, okay?
Okay.
Well, the one thing that I am feeling with you in particular right now is one of the things that really is coming up is that heart healing space. And it feels like there's a great deal of love, but it wasn't necessarily always communicated in this lifetime. Do you understand?
Yes. What do you mean it wasn't communicated?
Well, it wasn't necessarily said a lot, but the actions were there.
By whom? By me or her? Or by who?
In your relationship with your mom. In other words, this is a time it feels like to really allow yourself to feel that bond of love that's there for you. And what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing, I'm feeling, first of all, a real heart palpitation and a real surge of energy in the heart center. And I'm also seeing beautiful pink roses. And that, to me, is a gift of expression of love. Now, did you also have a locket? Because I'm seeing a locket with that. Do you have something of hers?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'd really encourage you to invite her to come with you and visit.
How do I do that? Because I tell her to come in my dreams. How do you...
It's through intention, and that's beautifully done, you know, to invite her to come and share what her message is to you in that way, too. Because it feels to me like you just want to let her know that you're there, you're thinking of her, and she's with you all the time. You know, the energy is very present. But what I'm seeing is like a little gold locket, so you might want to pull that out. To work with a crystal, by the way, to really work with helping to open the channel of mediumship, in other words, to connect more easily, One of the things you can do is work with a channel face quartz crystal and invite that energy in. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say channel face quartz crystal?
No.
Okay. It's a particular configuration. It's a seven-sided configuration with a small triangle on the back, and that will help bring in the energy because the crystals really accelerate and intensify our intention.
Is this a plain crystal?
And this is a quartz crystal,
Oh, quartz crystal.
It's a type of quartz crystal. It's a type of configuration. I talk about that a little bit in the book Crystal Therapy, and there's actually a picture where you can see it. But if you go into most metaphysical stores or crystal stores, they'll know what you're talking about.
And what is the title of your book?
Crystal Therapy.
Crystal Therapy.
Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that you understand that there is a great love that really is being sent forward from your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And who's the author, Crystal Therapy?
I authored that with Doreen Virtue. So my name is Judith Oklansky, and the book is Crystal Therapy.
Okay. Now, I tell my mother to come to me in my dreams, but I don't know, does she come? I don't seem to.
One of the things when you're working with dream time in particular, you can ask to remember the dream, and before you even get out of bed, write what you feel, what you've experienced, because oftentimes it's simply by asking that you'll keep what you need to know. And always know that when you put out the intention, that gift is being given to you, whether you remember it in this plane or not, it's there.
Okay, could I have prevented my mother's passing? Was there anything I could have done?
No. No, honey. It was not yours to prevent, so to speak. To me it feels, you know, very much like the passing was timely in that sense. It was unexpected, it feels like, but it was also timely. One of the things for you, honey, is simply to be aware that essence of love that you feel transcends the space, if you will. You know, that your mom knows that you love her and you know that she loves you, and that's really truly the gift of the divine. So many, many blessings to you.
And can she hear me when I talk with her?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are lots of spirits around us, and our loved ones are always, always with us. And they may not be with us in the physical sense, but the essence of their love, the essence of their being, is always part of the divine and always part of our journey.
And can you tell me who my mother was reaching out to? Because, like, she kept reaching out. You know, she's reaching out for someone, like. Can you tell me who came to take her?
I'm sorry, honey, what was that?
My mother was reaching out, extending her arm and reaching out.
As she was passing?
Yes.
Yes. That's really, you know.
And before that, too, like, in the hospital, quite a few days she was doing that. I don't know who she was reaching out to.
Well, reaching out is this beautiful symbol of moving to the next part, you know, to reach out to give love and to reach out to meet loved ones. To me, it feels like she was reaching out to meet loved ones.
Is she happy where she is now? She's happy?
She's peaceful, honey. You know, the burdens of personality, of physicality are lifted. You know, there is none of that that really transpires on that side of life. It's more about being in that space of divine grace and love. She's more worried about you being happy. Understand? So you be happy, and you become that essence of love. And it sounds like you have the crows behind you.
Excuse me?
It sounds like there are crows flying behind you.
That's actually here where I am.
I thought that was on your side. I don't hear.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's interesting because crows are a symbol between the worlds, the Native American tradition.
Uh-huh.
And so it feels to me like that's part of what's being brought forward is that validation for you because the crows are the mystery, the bearers of mystery messages in the darkness. And that's a tremendous gift.
Yeah, they're really here.
Yeah, they're coming in to say hello and to really honor the essence of that change. So many blessings to you, Lane. Many, many blessings.
Because I hear of after-death communication where, like, sometimes the deceased can appear to loved ones. Have you heard, you know, boy, they appear to...
The crows?
No, I mean, like, if you have somebody that's passed on, I read stories where they appear to them after death communication. I say to my mother, I don't know why my mother doesn't appear to me. Why is it that some people have these experiences?
Well, there are many reasons, and there are many ways that people come to us and loved ones come to us. You know, and sometimes it's unexpected, and sometimes, you know, we anticipate that they're going to come in almost, if you will, physical form. In other words, we're going to see them as clearly as we may see, you know, the couch across the room. The vibration is different. You know, so they may come in a softer, gentler form. They may come in the form of a light or, you know, this sense. You know, there are different ways that they communicate their being with you. You know, sometimes spirits will also provide a physical gift, you know, whether it be a feather or a penny. There are different ways to start that communication. What I would encourage you to do is really connect with your mom and ask for that gift of understanding how she's communicating with you, and watch to see what repetitively happens. You know, do you repetitively see now white feathers? Or, you know, in this case, I would say probably there will be feathers of crows that will come. You know, that's part of how you learn to look at the signs of what else is happening.
Can I just say something, Judith,
over
there as well? I think sometimes that we all have different gifts. We all have different energetic gifts. And sometimes my own experience is, like, for example, I never get a direct communication myself from my mother. However, I've had numerous occasions where I've been with certain people and she makes it known to me that she's around. And she'll do it in ways that I'll recognize her, you know. So sometimes other people are used as the channel very often to get the messages through. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they come up in unexpected ways.
Yeah.
In other words, other people could be a channel for them to come through. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, and the thing I wanted to say, that they really, really do communicate with you. You know, I'll tell you a personal thing that happened to me. When my mother passed, mm-hmm. there was a lot of angst between the two of us, and she passed about 27 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And really a lot of bitterness from my side, you know, and I hadn't reached a place of forgiveness. And anyway, about 10 years ago, I did a really big piece of forgiveness work around her. And 3 weeks later, I got a call from the wife of a guy I used to work with, and she told me that some woman that she didn't even know, because she didn't know anything about my story, had contacted her. I knew she was very gifted, this woman, psychically, and had contacted her and wanted to pass a message to me. And when she described my mother, she didn't know it was my mother. She said, "Do you know this woman?" As soon as she described her, it was instant. You know, I knew what she was telling me. This was my mother. And she came to thank me. You know, she just said, "Thank you." You know, so she got that then. So it's never too late to communicate. It's never too late to do healing with our loved ones who have passed. It is literally never too late.
Because we were very, very, very close, extremely close with my mother. And I just want her to, you know, remain close to me and remain connected.
She is, honey. She is.
Does she know I'm still grieving?
Mm-hmm.
She does know?
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself is the understanding.
I can't hear you. Can you talk louder, please?
One of the greatest gifts that you can give to yourself and to your mom is to know that the divine love, that essence of connection, always is in place. If for you, it feels like, you know, you're really asking for tangibility. And sometimes tangibility is best, you know, brought forward using something that was hers that you recognize and love, and bring that forward so that you can connect using that as a tool. In other words, sometimes, you know, holding a piece of jewelry or a piece of clothing
mm-hmm.
can help you move into a state of awareness in a different way. And that can be a really powerful gift.
You mean awareness that she's still with me?
I'm sorry, honey?
You said holding something that belongs to her would give me, in other words, awareness that she's to feel closer to her. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that can bring comfort and also help to allow the energies to be more present for you.
And she loved roses. Why? I mean, she never sends me the scent of roses. I can't understand why.
Well, she sent you the pink roses today. And oftentimes, you know, the fragrance will follow at different times, or there'll be, as John mentioned, you know, a surprise channel of information that will come through, or you may hear a song that makes you, you know, think of her. Those are all ways that they can, our loved ones connect with us and communicate. You really are blessed, son, and know that you are truly loved.
Is she, in other words, she's still aware of me, isn't she?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and would you like to give Ellen your website there as well, Judith? She might.
Sure, it's crystalfriends.com.
What is the website?
Crystalfriends.com.
Crystal what?
Friends, F-R-I-E-N-D-S, Crystal Friends. You know,
Crystal Press, P-R-E-S-S?
Friends, F-R-I-E-N-D-S.
F-R-I-E-N-D-S, crystalfriends.com?
Mm-hmm. That came about because I work with the stones all the time, and to me, all of them are friends. So, it's Crystal Friends.
Crystalfriends.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Is anybody else waiting there to talk with Judith today?
I think it's you and I, John, right now.
Yeah, I think we're back together here. Well, thank you, Judith. That was beautiful. And could you hear the lady okay?
It was a little quiet, but yeah. No worries.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That was very very reassuring. It is amazing, isn't it, how, I mean, the lady in question, she didn't mention when her mother passed, but it's amazing the different ways we get messages, isn't it? You know, it's mm-hmm. not always directly, as I was saying, and like you mentioned, you know, some words in a song or a book, or it's quite incredible, really. And it's just being tuned in and being aware.
That's beautifully stated. It is that awareness that brings us to connection. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being attuned to pay attention to the little things that are in our life to see where each are connected to the whole.
Yeah.
Because there is no separation.
That's it. And of course, that's the whole essence of this Course in Miracles. That's the whole essence of that work.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is living in the world we do is that we have so many things pulling us to focus on other things that it's a real discipline sometimes, isn't it, to make sure that we keep that connection.
It truly is. You know, in many ways, it's learning to live in the heart space, the space in which there is no disconnect, there is no reality other than the gift of love.
Yeah. And talking about that, it's a great time, I think, Judith, to talk a little bit about how you got back in, because you said you were working in the corporate world before you kind of really did this and before you got into writing your book. And how did you get back in there, and what kind of situations do you work in, you know, and in what kind of avenues do you work?
John, that's a really great question, so thank you. One of the things that I really want to make clear for folks is that there's never a separation of paths. In other words, you don't have to just do one thing. You know, for me, I had my spiritual path, and I also had a very traditional business path.
Yeah.
And there was a point where absolutely they began to intertwine more, because as I progressed through my career, I began to realize that what I was seeing in the traditional sense was not what my heart was asking for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my heart was asking that we have a deeper sense of community, that we are kinder to one another, that we can be bringing out the best and optimize all that we have to bring, both from a personal and a corporate standpoint, doing it in a way that was really, again, from that heart space. And I realized at one point in the work that I was doing that wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood in that particular hallway, and I'll never forget it, because my heart was pounding and I had all kinds of stuff going on. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way. There
mm-hmm.
has to be a better way. And the universe heard me and presented several different opportunities. One of the opportunities was actually Doreen's class, because I had been working as a consultant for a long time. And as consultants in the traditional world, you have to take vacation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I booked my vacation, and I thought to myself, I don't know why I'm going to do this. I'm just going to trust that I'm going to go to this week-long course, and that'll be my vacation. So I went to Angel Boot Camp, and I walked in, And I thought, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? And it was really kind of fun, because now, again, you have to remember, I've been doing my spiritual work. I've been, you know, going to different classes and doing different things and really, you know, expanding. But here I am in this room full of people that really have been doing this forever, and this is where they want to be. And so I walked into a room full of psychics, right?
Mm.
And so I stood there in my corporate environment for a moment.
Okay, which area of corporate were you in before you got into this?
My background is in organizational design and structure, so change management.
Okay.
So I would help larger organizations, Fortune 500 companies and such, move their industry from soup to nuts into new programs of technology.
Okay, so it would be a variable, various different types of businesses, and you weren't sort of limited to one. It was that you went out and consulted with different types of across the broad sector of industry.
I have. I've worked in a lot of different environments. I've worked in healthcare. I've worked in retail. I've worked in manufacturing. I've worked in financial. I've worked in a lot of different industries, and really from the ground floor up.
Right.
You know, and in doing the organizational and the change work that I do right now, and even prior to, you know, I really work with people that are, if you will, on the floor doing the day-to-day activities to the strategic planning committees and the executives.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I digressed there a bit, but you were in the hallway and you got this aha moment, and what happened then?
My heart moment, and I thought, you know what, I'm going on vacation next week, I'll figure it out. So then I walked into Angel Boot Camp, and it was just one of those moments where, you know, it was an aha, because it was very comfortable in the sense of, you know, doing readings. I've been doing that for a long time anyway, but taking it now to a more public manner.
Yeah.
And taking it to the next step. And from that point, I stepped back, and the universe again presented a few more opportunities for change, and I took them and created my own company, Transitions Today, which is the consulting company that teaches intuitive leadership, that teaches executive mentoring and personal coaching. And so that piece is very traditional, but it's non-traditional in the fact that now we talk about working with new dimension techniques, meaning that we work with logic and we work with the heart space, that there's an intuitive balance there.
Wow, that's amazing. And this is with executives in these companies, and men, I guess, as well.
It's pretty mainstream, you know, and I'm working with a hospital right now. We're doing some amazing work with bringing forward, you know, wellness concepts and holistic healing concepts into allopathic or traditional Western medicine.
Wow.
You know,
I mean, that is really an achievement, Judith, because, you know, traditionally I've found that is one sector which have been, you know, can be pretty challenged by kind of this kind of stuff because of their training and their, you know, their conditioning. And so that's a real achievement to get an open and receptive response from them.
Well, you know, I think things are changing, John, in a really powerful and profound way.
Mm.
I think that people are understanding that the dynamics are not exclusive, that they are complementary, and that there is a recognition that rather than have invasive surgery, for example, perhaps using some non-invasive techniques first will really bring forward amazing results, and that's been the case.
Yeah, and I think it's a groundswell of it's filling a need as well, because you know, I was saying to somebody the other day that as each individual starts to ask those two questions, you know, there must be a better way than this, and, you know, who am I and why did I come here? So then groups of people and companies are starting to ask that, and the medical profession is starting to ask that. They're all made up of individuals, you know, and of course we know we're not separate. But it creates the same kind of question being asked, this is my experience, of the organization. And I think that's when change really happens, when people like yourself and others like you can get into these previously pretty shut down organizations.
We stand on this really exciting precipice right now where we have an opportunity to create anew.
And absolutely.
The only way we can do that is if we break down old barriers of thought.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Einstein said it best, that you can't solve the problem using the same mindset.
That's right. Yeah, that's that kind of thing. You can't solve a problem from within the energy where the problem was created, if you like.
Right. Absolutely.
So what actually happened? And you went on Doreen's boot camp. Where did you do that, by the way, and when was that?
Oh, my goodness. That was, what, 2000? I think it was 2000.
Was that in Laguna?
No, it was in San Diego. It was one of the last programs in San Diego.
So, did you start then immediately to go on to your staff?
I actually, within the next 6 months, did.
Right.
I had the opportunity to support because I found it to be a really rewarding experience. And, you know, at the time, it really was Angel Boot Camp because we started at 7 o'clock and we didn't finish until 11.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, I mean, I remember from my own time, you know, I thought, you know, you were up early and finishing late, and it was pretty strong hours.
Mm-hmm. And that was really exciting time because it really opened up a lot of different channels and, you know, the opportunity to meet some great people and the opportunity to give back because I think that giving and being of service is an important aspect of why we're here.
Absolutely.
So to go back and to serve, if you will, was part of my journey, and I did that. And Doreen and I became friends in that. She found out that I was working with the crystals, and one thing led to another. And I was staffing at one point, and she looked at me. I have to digress for a second because I had helped write Angel Medicine. There is a chart in the back that talks about which crystals to use, et cetera. And she had emailed me when she was in Australia and asked me if I would write that. And I thought, well, that's really kind of groovy. Okay. And I did.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I thought, okay, I'm done, you know. Went to staff the next course, and she looked at me across the room. And you know how you just know things, John? You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You just know. And she looked at me, and I thought to myself, she's going to call me up there, and we're going to talk about this. And we did. And we did this beautiful, unrehearsed dance of working with the angels and the crystals. Now, because I'd always worked with the angels and the crystals, et cetera. And we put it together in a different way. And she looked at me, and I'm standing in front of, you know, a couple hundred people, as you know how those classes are.
Yeah.
And she says to me, we're going to write a book. And I looked at her, and I said, of course we are. Thinking to myself, what?
Yeah.
And so later in the day, she said, well, do you have an idea? And I said, absolutely. And we, you know, there's a need for something that's very simple yet has complex concepts for the advanced users, which is how this started. So she said to me, well, you know what? I'm going to be leaving for Phoenix in the next hour and a half. Why don't you write that up, and I'll take it with me.
Wow.
So I had an hour and a half to write the outline of the book.
Wow.
And within 2 weeks, I was writing Crystal Therapy.
That is amazing. So that happened that fast. I mean, you met her on stage. Well, I mean, you met her, but, I mean, you got on stage. She kind of saw that. I mean, she is amazing, intuitive. I mean, isn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, incredible the stuff she came out with. When I trained with her, it was quite incredible the way she was able to read your thoughts. That was really scary.
She is very special. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, she is. So you actually wrote the outline while you were still at the course.
I did, actually. I slipped out into the hallway with a scrap of paper, and this is no joke, a scrap of paper and a pencil, and I sketched out two pages of how-tos, what I would see as how-tos,
right,
including the channeling of the crystals, because part of what she knew that I did was the stone speak, that there's an energy behind that. So that's something that was different that we wanted to bring forward. And so it all kind of came out that way, and then one thing led to the other, and there you have it.
That's amazing. And then how long did that take, the actual physical writing of the book? And did you sit with her while you were doing that, or did you email with each other? Or?
Well, it was really interesting in the process of it, because we didn't necessarily sit together. I wrote my piece, if you will, within a matter of months.
Right.
And then she was working on hers, and we incorporated the two, and it was done within probably about 6 months.
Man, that's fast, isn't it? Really good book, you know. That's fantastic. And when was that? When was the book published, Judith?
2005.
2005, right. And Alyssa can get that book on your website or Hay House?
You can on my website, on Hay House, on Amazon. It's available all over.
All over, right, yeah. Well, that must have been an amazing sense of achievement for you, wasn't it?
You know, there's nothing quite like getting the acceptance letter in the mail.
I'm waiting for that one.
And it's yours, John. It's absolutely yours.
Yeah.
And,
no,
you know, there's nothing quite like when you get the first copy.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah,
you know, it's hard to explain because it is a lot of work. You know, people talk about writing a book and such, and it does require discipline and dedication and commitment.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I found out, Judy, really, it's not a one-person job. I mean, that's I mean, I kind of, you know, as you know a little bit, I've been going it alone. But what it's meant to be out here right now and to be working, you know, with a very accomplished person in the field and doing that, it makes such a difference. You know, all my procrastination. For years, I beat myself up for procrastinating. But what I realized, it was just because I wasn't interested in what I was doing. It wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. Because I found that with this stuff, you know, when stuff's been emailed, I'm just right back. You know, it's gone back by return. because there's that energy behind it, isn't there? This is, you know, this is what you really want to do.
Well, it is, and when you're in the flow, whatever that flow is for you,
yeah.
you know it, you feel it, and you act upon it.
Yeah.
What sometimes I think sidetracks is we get distracted.
Yeah.
You know, the inner critic voice comes up, well, I can't do that, or, you know, who am I? And that's the point that I really hope that will dissipate as people realize this divinity of oneness.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and the acknowledgement and the understanding that that is the ego, and that's the mm-hmm. ego's job. The ego is always going to keep trying to do that to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a great trick, you know, when that kind of stuff comes up, you ask the ego to go on vacation. Say, thank you very
yeah.
much, appreciate
yeah.
the input, now go on vacation.
That's wonderful, Judith, because one of the things I made a mistake in my early days was I used to fight the ego, you know, say, go away, you know. And then I don't know who it was, but somebody just said, look, you just turn around and say, thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing. You know, on the basis of, you know, whatever we resist persists.
Well, and, you know, the ego has such a gift in many respects. It creates our survival.
Yeah.
You know, and then it comes to a point where we understand that we can survive without having to act in that manner.
Yeah. So say a little bit more about that. When you say it creates, it gives us our survival. And how does it do that?
Well, it makes us aware. In other words, when we talk about survival, you know, the very physical essence. You know, the ego can help guide us to, you know, protection and making sure that we're taking care of the body and that kind of such for many reasons.
Mm.
It's understanding not to get caught up in that, you know, because, for example, the ego can help us want to look good, right, and work out and take care of ourselves. Well, that can be sometimes ego-driven, yet when we transcend that, it becomes also a part of maintaining our health to become our optimal self.
Yeah, okay, so this is the, I think sometimes this caused me, anyway, some confusion, the two different meanings of the ego, you know, and I think that's what I wanted to clarify there. I understand that part of the ego you're talking about, but there's also that part of the ego that is absolutely, actively, viciously not wanting us to keep connected with spirit.
Mm. Well, you know, some folks would say that's the darker side.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to clarify the ego, the term ego is used in those two ways.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I don't know if you've experienced this, but whenever I've been really on track and really going to do something that's powerful, that's when I have to be most alert. The mm-hmm. ego is very tricky indeed. It's like, since I was out here yesterday, it got hold of me and was having a field day, you know, and I'm wasting my time out here and all the rest of it. And other ways as well, you know, have you ever had that experience where you're going to do a course which is really powerful, or you're sitting down to watch a really powerful movie and you just can't keep awake? And,
mm-hmm.
and it's nothing to do with tiredness.
Mm-hmm. It's a distraction. You know, it's the shutting down, it's moving energy away from where you really want to be.
That's
I think that, John, you touched on something so important, you know, is to stay aware. And, you know, working, for example, one of the things I work with is a touchstone.
It's a what, too?
It's a touchstone.
Touchstone, yeah.
A touchstone, meaning that, you know, for me, for example, I always want to be in that state of connection of divine grace. And for me, that's really working with the Mother Mary energy, the Kuan Yin energy, that divine blessed
yeah.
being.
Yeah.
So I'll wear like a rose quartz bracelet, or I'll have a piece of rose quartz. And for me, when I touch that, I remember physically to stay in that zone.
Now, that is a great thing. Thank you for bringing that up, because, you know, it's so easy to forget these simple. I mean, and that is so simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple thing to do.
It
and
is.
And that's really reminded me. So, you know, that I think that's going to be a great, great aid to all our listeners, that whenever you've got this stuff going on, to have something like that. And you can just carry it, and a man can carry it in his pocket and just,
absolutely.
You know. Yeah.
It can be so simple. You know, especially when, for example, you're working with writing, John, you know, and you're working with bringing up that element of truth and expression.
Right.
You know, working with sodalite is a wonderful stone.
What is that, sodalite?
Sodalite, which is a beautiful deep blue stone with a little bit of white usually.
Uh-huh.
And sodalite really works with the fifth chakra, the throat chakra. And
uh-huh.
also opens up that avenue of communication.
Yeah.
So when you have the intention, for example, with working with your book, because it's absolutely, it's a magnificent book, and I can't wait for everyone to get it.
Oh, thank you.
You know, as you're bringing that forward, you know, calling on the energies of heaven and earth to create a momentum, to really escalate those intentions, and to put them forward in a way that is supportive in all aspects.
Right.
And sodalite can help you do that, as can, for example, when you're writing, blue topaz is a wonderful stone. And that can just sit on your desk.
Right, okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, sometimes I can forget about this. I mean, crystals, they are so powerful, you know, because let's face it, that's how the first communication was done through radios, wasn't it, was crystals.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what I find really interesting is the fact that we are already crystal. In other words, our very physical body is made up of the elements of potassium, magnesium, calcite. All of that is within us.
Right.
And when we're out of balance, some mineral is often the reason that we're out of balance.
Right.
So when we start working with minerals and we start working with the resonance of those energies that are contained within the earth, which is very much, you know, that same crystalline system that is in our body in terms of our blood flow, you know, if we look at the water of Mother Earth, that's the earth's blood flow.
Mm.
And we start pulling all that energy together in a new way and recognizing the gift of foundation that it provides for us, we really have an opportunity to pull it in and to really create an even more supportive aspect of giving back to the world.
Mm. Yeah, that's amazing. And do you cover all these aspects in your book? You know, these, like when you're talking about writing, the things that help writing and that, do you categorize a lot of the crystals in that way?
Mm-hmm. In the back of the book, there's actually a section where there are particular things that you might be working on. So you can look it up and say, well, you know, if I'm having an abundance issue, what can I work with? Well, I might want to work with cinnabar or jade. Or if I'm not feeling well, you know, what might help a solar plexus or a stomach, you know, ailment? Or, you know, I'm really attracted, and this happens often, I'm really attracted to ruby. Well, why am I really attracted to ruby, and what does that mean? So, for example, John, if I were to say to you, what stone really have you ever noticed an attraction to?
Yeah, I'd have to say onyx.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a couple things. You know, onyx is such an amazing stone to bring foundation and to create an awareness, if you will, in this plane, to bring forward the gifts of understanding and the gifts of protection.
Uh-huh.
And that's for you an important aspect of what you're doing.
Right.
Now, when you say onyx, I'm not seeing necessarily black onyx as much as the beautiful kind of cream onyx.
Okay. All right. Okay. I wasn't even aware that there was a cream onyx,
mm-hmm.
to be honest.
Onyx has a lot of different colors, and it comes primarily from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And when you work with that energy, I think you'd have a great time. I'd encourage you to pick up a piece of cream onyx to see what that feels like.
Okay.
Because you're working with these celestial beings.
Yeah. Well, and the other big one for me, Judith, and I don't know what it would be called, but I can see it now. It's so clearly in my consciousness now. It's a turquoise with black back speckled. It looks like a bird's egg.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very light, pale turquoise color. What do you know what that would be?
Well, there are so many different matrices. Because are you talking about like an opalescent?
Yeah, opalescent type, yeah.
Mm. You know, that one feels really like a beryl, which is a type of gemstone.
Right.
But it feels like there's another matrix to it. That's interesting.
Yeah. And the other one that has played a big part in my life, you know, with all the years I spent in Africa, which I had a lot of at one time, was malachite.
Ah.
Is that a crystal?
Malachite is a crystal, and it's a really beautiful green crystal that relates to the heart chakra.
Right.
And also for global healing.
Okay, so that's why I would have been attracted to that one then, because I always was, you know, and there's so much of it. Where does that come from, Africa?
It is. Malachite is primarily found in Africa, and in particular, there are a couple areas right now that are coming to a close in malachite mining. So we're going to be looking for different sources of that. It's coming. There are two types of malachite. There's the velvet malachite, which is a very soft-looking malachite, and the more polished.
Right.
And the more polished is the more dense of the two. The velvet almost has a flocking to it, a natural kind of flocking to it, which is what it feels like what you're attracted to.
Yeah, that's the one. That's exactly the one, you know, and it was very prevalent in Nigeria when I was out there, and also the shiny one, you know, the shiny malachite.
Mm-hmm. You know, John, I just wanted to share with you what malachite said really quickly, because it's coming in. when I was writing the book, I had all these stones in my office, and they were all talking at the same time. That stone in particular was talking about taking hold and healing the physical health by strengthening the heart. And it also was talking about attracting abundance by working on your heart's purpose, on your heart's life's purpose, and opening up to work with Raphael.
Ah, that's interesting. That really is interesting. And Judith, before we finish up, because it's been so great to talk to you, and it's just whizzled by, I would never believe that an hour's gone already, but I just want to quickly, we've got a couple of minutes, just let me know how things are going in Australia, because obviously you're aware I've got this beautiful Australian wife who I want you to meet so much. I'd love to come down and pay a visit down there, and I know that you've traveled a lot around there, and what was your impression? How's everything going down there?
You know, I love Australia. I love the people, the land. It's an amazing country, you know, and I was blessed to spend a fair amount of time traveling throughout the country, and they're really opening up in such beautiful and profound ways.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I really do think that they're sharing the depth of knowledge that they've had in ways that are going to be really, continue to be breakthrough.
Yeah. And which part did you visit?
I was in, let me see, Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, up on the is it the West Coast? I get confused. The Sunshine Coast, and up on the other side, just above that. So I had quite an adventure, and I'd love to go back and see some of the areas I haven't been in yet.
Yeah, and did you go to Brisbane at all?
I did.
You did? Okay, because Mary always tells me, she said there's just two types of weather. You know, in Brisbane, it's beautiful and really beautiful.
She's right. She's absolutely right. I loved the city. The city was just fabulous. And they have the best used bookstore I've ever been in.
They got the best what?
They have the best used bookstore I've ever been in. I found something from like 1820-something there.
Oh, my God.
It was fabulous. It was this little tiny crystal book.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I just, and, you know, those are one of the little gifts from the angels when I was traveling.
Yeah. And what's your schedule now? What have you got? Would you want to just tell our listeners, have you got any workshops coming up? Where are you off to?
Thank you. I do have some very fun things coming up. I have the Crystal Energist Practitioner coming up in April. We're starting a new Level 1 course. I'm going to be traveling in the UK and Ireland in the late summer. I'll be on the East Coast in the fall, and I have several different things sprinkled in California, and then also I'm offering teleclasses.
Have you just started teleclasses?
We're just in our first grouping and having a great time with that.
Oh, that's fantastic. The listeners can get information from that from your website, right?
Absolutely. They can find out all the different things that are going on, all the different services and different things that are being offered.
Fantastic. So would you like just to repeat what your website is, and can people contact you also by email, and how do you work?
Email is fabulous, and you can contact me through the website, and it's www.crystalfriends, that's with an S, FRIENDS.com. And there's all kinds of information on crystal usage and how to work with them, and all kinds of things that are coming up.
Fantastic. And also, you have a wonderful newsletter. I really love your newsletter. And people can sign up for that newsletter from your website, can't they?
Absolutely. It's just on the left-hand side.
That's wonderful. Well, Judith, we're just about up to time, and I want to thank you so much for giving up your time to share with us today. It's been a real pleasure. It's always a pleasure. I don't see enough of you, because I've really enjoyed it. It was such fun starting with you on Doreen's. I mean, that was one of the greatest fun weeks of my life. That really was. That was such fun. And any time together with Doreen and people like yourself. And I wish you every success, continued success in what you're doing. And I look forward to catching up with you in the very near future.
Well, John, thank you. This has been just a delight and truly an honor to get to share with you. You know, I love what you do. I love who you are. And I wish you such joy and such happiness.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Judith. And everyone, that's Judith Lekomsky. And you've got a website there. I can tell you you're dealing with somebody of high integrity. And I encourage you to take a look at her website. You'll have a lot of fun. So thank you all for listening, and I look forward to meeting with you again next week. Thank you, and God bless you all. Bye-bye, Judith.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night.